Now let's start all over. Philippians 2, 1. It's on the screen. Hey, everybody stood up. They must have heard me. Starting with verse 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking on your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. If your relationship with one another have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even to death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
Well, I need to give God glory for something that's a really big deal in our family. A lot of you know that my son, Parker, has had apraxia. I say that he had it because he doesn't seem to have it anymore. Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, he had a speech issue and he was having a hard time talking. He couldn't say anything about maybe a year ago or so. He maybe knew a couple of words and he was struggling. Now he knows, 200, I don't even know. He knows all of his letters. He says all kinds of stuff, and I am so thankful for all the prayers of the people here. I'm thankful for God who brings healing to kids who can't talk, because that's only for a time, you know. So we're just so thankful for that. This morning we had kind of an interesting time with Parker because once in a while he starts rambling and he'll say a whole bunch of stuff, but nobody knows what it is. But it's a long string of stuff. But today he had one phrase that he was trying to get out. He was trying to say this thing, and he was telling Cindy, and he was telling me, but it started out by him just saying this thing over and over, and we are like, what? I can't understand. What's that again? And he kept talking and kept saying the same thing, and he was looking at us and like, don't you get it? And he was saying this word, or this string of words over and over and over, and he began to be more and more frustrated, and he began to start crying. And he was kind of losing it, you know. And it was just getting worse and worse, and he was crying, and he was frantic. I mean, he was just looking at us. You should have seen the look in his eyes. I mean, he was looking at us and saying this thing over and over, but it was like this desperation, like, you got to get this. And then as parents, you know, it's just like, well, I mean, you want to hear it. We're even saying the thing back and forth amongst each other, trying to get it, and we can't seem to get it. And at some point, we're down on our knees, like with him, you know, saying, what's that again? And he's just crying and frantically saying this thing over and over. And we can't seem to get it. And at that point, you know, Cindy started crying because it was just an emotional thing to see the frustration and the hurt in his eyes, you know. And I don't know, in that moment, you know, I just felt like God said something to me, and it was for tonight, that he said, you know, if you love somebody, you'll listen like that. And it was something about that that really hit me. Like, I don't know that I've listened that intently to anybody on earth, you know? That getting down on their level and saying, tell me again. I want to hear it one more time. Like, just say it again. I don't know that I've really listened like that. But, you know, real love listens to people. You know what I mean? And listening goes a long ways. And I just saw that frustration And then God says, like, on the flip side of that, now do you understand how people feel when they're not heard? When someone's not really listening to them, yet they need someone to listen. And I think all of us have been on both sides of the coin, you know. We've been the ones trying to say something that nobody seems to get, and we've been on the other side where we've been really listening. But God says that I want you to listen like that, because if you truly love people, you'll find yourself getting down with them and intently listening and having a moment with them and not really wanting to stop until you figure it out, you know? And I don't know that we always do that with people, because in order for us to really do that, it's like love has to be perfected in that area, you know? There has to be a perfection of love to where we get to the point where we understand that what they have to say and what's happening in other people's lives is so important that everything needs to come to a screeching halt so we can hear what's going on. And as I look at this here, people say, well, you know, I don't know that I can have that kind of like listening and talking conversation because, you know, what do we have in common? Well, Paul starts out by saying, here's what you have in common, guys. This is the commonality between you. And then you guys can have a conversation. He says, if any of you have encouragement from being united with Christ. Is anybody here united with Christ?
Amen.
Okay, if you have any comfort from his love. Anybody been comforted from his love?
Yes.
Any fellowship with the Spirit here tonight?
Amen.
Any tenderness, any compassion?
Yes.
We've got all that, right? So there's the common ground. We all have that, right? That's part of the deal because the Spirit's in us, and so we understand that's where we all are. The grounds are set for us to have some really good conversation and some really good listening, okay? So he says, then complete my joy or make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and in one purpose. I want everyone to get together on the same page here. I want everyone to understand that you're of one spirit, you're of one purpose. We are in this life together. We are doing this life together. We have relationship together. Now it's time for some people to talk and for others to listen, right? And it's time to really begin to build relationship. He goes on to say, that do not do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Don't be all about you. It's also about the other people too. It's important that we take care of things with us, but there's a part of life that's all about everyone else, right? And I can tell you, it's a really large part about everyone else and about listening to what's happening with them. And so this whole concept of like considering them better than ourselves and looking into their own interests, this has a lot to do with listening to people and just spending time with people. And as I look at this here, I think, you know, I don't know that I've ever really thought about the interests of others. You know, we read these passages and we're like, yes, well, you know, whatever's important to them, we want to hear about it. But when I listen to you, I need to be thinking about what's in your best interest? You know, like what really needs to happen in order for you to know that you're loved by Jesus when I'm sitting with you? You know, how do I really need to listen so that when we have this conversation and it's pretty much you talking and me listening, when we have this conversation, how is it that I leave you with the feeling that I've been heard, I've been loved, he cares about me, he knows about me, he knows what I'm about, he learned something from me. He learned something about me. I wonder if we could leave people with that when we get finished. You know, you ever spent time with someone who you're talking to them, but they're only really thinking about the next thing you're going to say, and then they're just waiting for you to get done so they can say it? You know what I'm talking about? I think we've all been there at some point or another, right? But that's not what God's called us to. We've been called to this place of really listening and considering others' interests. And you know, when I think about this whole concept that love really listens, you know, love is a listening thing, then I think about what listening really does and what is it that we're leaving with people when we truly listen to them. When we listen to someone, we're listening to know them, you know, to really know them. Like not just to say, hey, how you doing today? What's been going on? Yeah, work tough, you know. No, getting to know what's going on in their life. Like Glenn, for instance, I mean, we've had conversations about the stuff you've been through in your life, and I know some stuff about your life. And I got to know you through the process of just listening to everything that you've been through, you know? I mean, at least a piece of it. I don't know everything you've been through, you know? That'd be a really long conversation and a whole lot of listening, you know? But through some of the most difficult things you've been through, we've had those conversations to talk that stuff through, and I got to know you better. And the thing is, the reason I want to know you is because, Glenn, you're a cool guy. Okay, we all know that. Doesn't everybody know Glenn's cool? Okay, we know that,
yeah.
Right? But the thing about it is that I want to know you because God made you. You're special. And not only that, you're just one of these guys that, like, I know that you have something that I need. And I want to get to know what you're about so that I understand you a little bit better, you know? And I wonder when the last time is that we looked at people like that And I don't do this to say, look at how I look at people. You need to look at people the way I look at them. No, that's not the deal. The Holy Spirit made that real to me. That's why I wanted to get to know you. But I really want to have that same thought and that same feeling about everybody I come in contact with, because here's the thing, God made everyone, right? And I want to get to know you. I need to get to know you because it's good for me. Like, there's this whole idea that putting us together actually is kind of a synergy. You know, there's something that happens when we come together and we come together as one. It's like we're better together than we are apart, you know? And so it's important for us to know each other and know each other's story. And so we really want to spend time getting to know each other's story. And that doesn't mean getting in all their business. Let them talk. That's the thing. Don't ask tons of questions. Let them talk about their life, you know? And get to know what they're willing to share. And if they want to share more, let them share. We also need to listen to understand. There are some people here who have an incredible understanding of Scripture, who have an incredible understanding of the Lord, who know Him really well. And that we need to understand how they think about things and how they believe and how they see Scripture. And we need to have those conversations, those deep conversations. And we need to be willing to listen to things and listen to things that maybe even stir us up a little bit inside and maybe go against everything we've ever been taught. Because just because we've been taught things doesn't mean it's right, you know? There are a lot of things from my past I was taught, and I look back and I think, and there are some really awesome Christian people who have prodded me in those areas and maybe irritated me a little bit, to be honest. But I needed it. I needed it because I was complacent in my wrong teaching. I was complacent in this place of not really fully understanding and wanting to stand on something that wasn't even right. And thank God that He sent people my way to do that, you know. And so it's so important for us to get to understand. There's this passage here in Proverbs 18, verse 2. It says, "A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions." Man, isn't that the truth, huh? A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. That person never grows and is never teachable and never accomplishes anything. I'll just be honest. And you know what? That was me for a while. But I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the fool in the story, right? You know, I want to understand. I want to be sharpened. You know, when I first came here as a pastor, and this was in my first year, and it was every last bit of my first year. I mean, starting like week one all the way through. There was this guy in the church, and he's not here anymore. He's gone to be with the Lord now. But man, that guy, he irritated me to death. I mean, I'll just be honest. I mean, the guy was rough. He was rough. God sent that man to me. Okay, I didn't understand that at the time. I thought it was just the pain of pastoring. I didn't know. But every Tuesday, we would open on Tuesday, the guy would be sitting in the parking lot. Lori remembers this. He'd be sitting in the parking lot waiting for me, and he'd have his Bible in his hand, and he was ready to jump on me, man. And this guy was just, he was horrific. He would come in my office, and he would tell me, you know, I heard what you said Sunday about Paul, okay, and I got to tell you, I mean, you did really good. You explained what he had to say. You told the story really well, but then you had the chance to put the screws into the people in the congregation, and you held back, and you made it look all loving, and Paul was never like that. He was rough, you know? Read the story. You know, you gotta represent him well, and you didn't do it at all. And so I'm like, well, I'm kind of a loving guy, okay? Well, you got to tell the story, you know what I mean? And it was just this, it was every week like this, you know? Then he told me, he said, you know, there's a lot of books on your shelves. I hate all those books on your shelves. I have a bunch of books because one of the guys in our denomination gave me all of his library. So I had all these books wrapped around the room, but the books were his enemy, okay? So you can imagine this guy sitting in a chair in the middle of a library with books wrapped around him, and he was like, I hate this place. There's books everywhere, you know? And he's like, you only need one book. You need this one right here. It's the Bible. You don't need the other stuff. Don't you ever preach out of it. Because if you ever preach out of anything other than the Bible, I will stand up and point you out in front of everybody. And I mean, for real, the guy would have done it, you know? And it was kind of the thing at the time, to be honest. I mean, I think anybody who's pastor here, you know, there are some really awesome books out there and some great series you can teach and all this kind of stuff. And it's really like, there were some books I really liked at the time. And I was like, I just want to teach a little bit of that. But there was something in me going, that guy's going to stand up and call you out right there. Don't dare pick up that book. Don't you tell him you did it. So I stuck with the Bible out of fear. I'm just being real. I stuck with the Bible because I knew he was right in my heart, but I also liked the books. And I'm like, well, the books are based on the Bible. He's like, I don't want to hear about the books. If I wanted to hear that guy, that guy would have been living in the time of the Bible and he would have written it, but he didn't do it, okay? And so I stuck to that. I left all my books alone and I stuck with the Bible. And he all of a sudden one day decides he's going to leave the church, and he leaves. And I said, "Why are you leaving the church?" He's like, "The air conditioning is right over my head, and I freeze every morning. I can't do this anymore. I am done with this church." I'm like, "Man, if I knew you were going to leave because of air conditioning, I would have kicked out of here a long time ago. I mean, because honestly, this was rough. You know what I mean? If I had known, I could have, like, you know, closed the other vents and made it a little heavier right there in that spot. I don't know." But, you know, the man passed away. And I was sitting in Ohio in a blind waiting to shoot a deer. And at the time, the guy's service was going. And I'm like, "Man, that guy, you know?" And so I wrote something, and I don't have it with me tonight, but I wrote something to be read at the service because I'm like, "You know what? God spoke to me in that blind. He told me, I sent that man to you." It's like you said, I know you considered him the biggest pain of your life. But I sent that man to you in your beginning years of preaching because I never wanted you to ever substitute the truth of my word and exactly what I said for other stuff that's a cheap substitute. And so I wrote something nice for the family to explain, yeah, he was horrific. I mean, I really hated those days. But to be honest, God sent him to me to keep me on the right track and to keep me in the truth, because the truth is the only thing that sets people free, not men's clever thoughts about this truth. And, you know, I looked at that and I thought, you know, I missed all those moments of understanding that guy, because I would just be, I'd see his car parked in the lot and I would walk in the doors and I would be like, oh. And I tried not to make it look quite like that, you know what I mean, when I was walking in, because he was sitting there looking at me. But inside I was like, you know what I mean? But I missed a lot of those opportunities with him. And but God got his point across to me. And we can never, ever avoid being sharpened because we don't like the package it comes in or the way it's said to us or anything. We need to take time to listen. And even through all the mean stuff that's been said over the years, because as pastors, you get a lot of that stuff. Through all that mean stuff, there's stuff in there that you need to hear and that you need to sort out and make some sense out of, because God still speaks even through mean people, you know? Even through tough people. Even through people who kind of put the screws to you a little bit because they're trying to help you, right? Through all that. So it's important that we listen to understand, because it's an important part of loving people where they're at, right? It's easy to say, "Oh, we love everyone, we're Christians, we just want to be like Jesus." And then a guy like that walks in your life, you know what I mean? And then you think really hard, well, I mean, this loving thing, I'm sure God meant it for everybody but that guy, you know what I mean? But it's for everybody, you know? You know, when we listen to people, we listen to help them. But you got to take time to listen to know their situation, because help isn't always what you think it is, you know? Sometimes you think you can throw money at things to fix them, and money's not always the solution. Sometimes they come in asking for something they want, but you know what? Maybe they don't need that. You know, it's like the beggar who was begging, you know, he really needed healing, but he just was asking for money, you know. It's like so many times in life we give people just the money because we're not really even listening. You know, what they really need is healing. They really need something different. But if we take time to listen to them, we take time to listen to their story, and we take time to listen to their pain and the suffering in their life, God will speak through that, but we need to be patient enough to hear what they have to say and allow God to speak in that moment so that we can give them what they really need. Because if you love people, you'll wait for the Lord and you'll take time to listen to their story, right? And that's how people get better. So we listen to help people, but we also listen to give value to people. You know, as you listen to people's lives and all the things they've been through, and you see the things that God has deposited in their lives, it'll blow you away what God has put in people, you know? And a lot of times we miss that stuff because we're not listening because we value people. We're listening because we're just like trying to listen to a story. But everyone has value, and God has done some incredible things in people. I mean, incredible things. In this room here right now, there are some gifts that are just absolutely amazing in this place. There's faith that goes beyond anything you've ever seen. Gail, you are, I mean, and I hate to point you out, and I know you're like, Gail, what'd I do? Well, you had a lot of faith, and you still have a lot of faith, and the way you walk stuff out is amazing to me. And you went through some really hard stuff, stuff that would cause people to crumble, and you didn't. And you stood strong, even though you didn't feel strong. You stood strong, and you stood on the truth, and you went through stuff, and today your faith is stronger than it's ever been. And so when I see that kind of stuff, I think, you know, we probably, I mean, I remember all the conversations we've had about all the things you've been through, but it's like I want to hear more, you know what I mean? I want to know your story more because, you know, for every time we talk and every time I hear that what God has done in you and through you, it just puts more value on you, you know what I mean? Because God gives you value, you know? It's not you being a nurse and you're being a cool person and stuff. It's that God has given you value through the things that he's placed in your life, and I want to be a part of that. And I want to hear more about it, you know? But I'll never know those things about Gail if I don't listen to her, you know? And it's an important thing in terms of really understanding God's value for people. You know, we listen to build relationship with people because relationship's really not going to ever be built unless we take time to listen to people and listen to their stories. And when they're having a bad day, listen to what's going on in their day and to remind them of the truth. And Tom Bruffy, nobody does the truth better than you and Jesus, okay? I mean, seriously, you plant truth in people. That's a huge, huge thing to do. And I'll tell you, when you get to a place in life where you're having a tough time and you need a friend, he's the friend to have right there. I'll just point him out for everybody. Tom, raise your hand so that we know who you are, okay? Because not everybody knows Tom Bruffy. He's the friend you want when you're going through something really, really hard because he knows the truth and he's going to place the truth in your life. And he is not a perfect man, but it's okay because perfection's not required. The truth is, though, if we're going to do the work that God called us to do, so the whole point is that we continue to sow truth into people's lives when they go through hard times. When you're cruising along and everything is good, he will be a guy who will pray for you, and he will walk with you through that. He will walk with you through anything because that's the kind of guy he is. And, you know, we've done a lot of talking, and we've done a lot of listening, and we've done a lot of relationship building, and the relationship keeps getting stronger and stronger as we go through things. Even if the conversation might get heated every once in a while, it doesn't make any difference. We're still getting stronger, right? And it's the way that we need to be. We need to be okay with having conversations with each other that maybe we don't agree about things. Maybe we need to sharpen each other. And the sharpening process, by the way, sometimes it rubs a little bit on each other, you know? But that's the whole idea, right? Like, I can't get better unless we kind of rub the edges off of each other, you know? And I need to learn, and you need to learn, and we're always sharpening. And hopefully you're getting sharpened a little bit tonight. That's the goal, right? But we build relationship by listening. We listen to learn. And I think sometimes we think we've arrived or we have something figured out and we want to tell everybody. But I think the best thing for us to do is to be quiet and to listen. And as we talk to people about the things that they've been through in their life, you will learn some really awesome stuff. Not just about people, but you'll learn some things about the truth that maybe you never knew. I've learned a lot from the people of this church, you know. I mean, I think when you become a pastor and you come in here, you think you have some stuff to share with people. And after I preached like 6 sermons, I found out I ran out of stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, God's still working on me, you know? So as I'm walking, you're walking with me. We get to learn together as we go through things. But I have learned so much from the people of this church. I have learned so much about grace, and I've learned so much about mercy. I've learned about how to love. I've learned about how we appreciate people for the way that they are. I've learned about hospitality. Thank you, Glenda Wright. I've learned a lot about what it means to walk with somebody and to be with somebody through hard times and what it means to look past the surface of life to see what's really deeper inside. I've learned a lot of things from the people. I've learned that no matter how messed up your life is and how many issues you bring to the altar, that God redeems those things, he puts them back together, and he restores people back, and there's nothing that's too ugly for him. I mean, I will just never forget the time where I'm up here at the altar and I'm a few years into ministry and a guy comes up and he's like, I just got to tell you what's going on. He dumps like 25 issues out. I mean, and they're big ones. They're not like, hey, you know, I lost my shoes. I need to get a pair of shoes. I mean, I don't know. I got this job. I got this interview coming up. It wasn't that kind of stuff. It was like, my kids don't talk to me. I lost 2 marriages and my car broke down and I lost my job. My dog died. I mean, it was just like everything you can imagine all at once, and I'm sitting there going, And I'm thinking, well, we serve a God that can handle all that. So let's just pray. And I'll never forget, he didn't get his dog back. But I remember that out of all those items, like everything came back. I mean, within just weeks. And I'm like, wow. I mean, I remember going up to him going, do you just see what happened? Do you just see that? I mean, like 3 weeks ago, everything was messed up. And look at this. Does this make any sense? Is this not God? Is this not the biggest miracle you've ever seen in your life? I mean, it's absolutely amazing, you know? I mean, I've learned a lot of things. I've learned things from people who struggle with addictions. I've learned things from people who struggle with homosexuality. I've learned things from people who struggle with all kinds of things in life. And man, I mean, they have made me better. And I don't want to ever miss those conversations. All the things that I've listened to over the years, and I've done a lot of listening over the years as a pastor, but I don't want to ever miss any of those things because I've learned so much stuff over the years. And we listen to bring healing to people because, you know, we talked last time that if you love people, you'll pray for them, right? It's like one of the most amazing outpourings of love you can have when you connect them to the one who made them for their own well-being and for their betterment, you know? And I think about that. I think, you know, I want to know how to pray for people. I want to pray for healing for them, and I want to see what's going on, but I want God to do it His way, you know? I want to take time to listen to where they're at in life, and I want to take time to listen to God, and I want to pray for them, and I want to see the miraculous power of God flow over their life in these areas of their life that they've needed it forever. But this is all about listening. It all comes back to that. It's not about what I know. I mean, I can sit there and spew everything that I know, and that's all fine, but, you know, I want to hear what God has to say today. I want to hear what He has to say. I want to see what He has for people. And then I want to be the one that God just releases it through in the moment when we pray because, man, I mean, I want to love people that way, you know? I want that to be part of the love that I pour out. You know, love listens. There's no question about it. And I don't know where you are in this, and I don't know what your relationships are like with people, and if you really think honestly about how do I listen? You know, do I really listen intently like we were listening to Parker? We're like, just say it one more time. Talk to me, you know? Like, I want to hear you. I wonder if we can have that intensity about our listening. Because that's what I want for my life, you know? I wonder what it would be like if I would listen to Cindy that way. Cindy, just talk to me. I don't know that I've always listened to you that way, you know? I don't know that I've always listened to my kids. With Madison, all I do is listen because she talks constantly. So I have to say I'm a good listener with my daughter, but I'm not sure about the rest, you know. But I wonder what it would be like if we would listen intently with the people in our lives, the people that God made, the people who God wants to have relationship with. I wonder if they could see Jesus through our listening. And I wonder what that would look like for you, you know. And I don't know what that is, but the Holy Spirit makes that real to you. I don't. I present the truth to you, and I lay it out in the way that God gave me, and then let the Holy Spirit do the rest of the work, because I don't change people. But I want to just pray tonight that this message really hits you where you live, and that you'll think about how it plays out in your marriage, that you'll think about how it plays out with your kids, how it plays out with coworkers or people you have contact with, how it plays out within this church, you know, how it plays out in every part of your life. I want you to take it seriously, and tomorrow when you go wherever you go, that you spend time intently listening like that, understanding that it is an expression of love that goes beyond maybe anything that needs to be spoken. Because I think so often we think that an expression of love has to be something that we express outwardly, that something we're doing. And sometimes we consider listening to not be doing, but to be sitting back passively. But I can tell you that listening is one of the greatest things you'll ever do for somebody, even though it looks quiet. And it looks like something that doesn't matter. It's something that matters in a great level. And so I really want to pray that God just stirs that up within you and takes you to a place where you're ready to do some listening tomorrow. And not just listening because, hey, the pastor told me I have to listen. Listening because you care and you love for people and you want to express your love that way. Okay? So let me just pray for you tonight. If you just bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, I just thank you for giving us the ability to express our love to others through listening. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, we have the same patience that you have with us, and we have the same grace and mercy that you pour out in our lives, into the lives of other people. Lord, I just pray that You help us to listen, to get to know people and listen to understand and to help people and to value people and to build relationships and to learn from people and to heal, Lord, just to bring your healing into situations. Lord, I just pray that, Lord, this common ground that we have of being united with Christ and being comforted by your love and the fellowship of the Spirit and the tenderness and the compassion that you put in us, Lord, I pray that that is the common ground that starts the conversation. Lord, so they feel open to talking to us. And Lord, I pray that you help us just to sit back and listen. And not only listen to what they're saying, Lord, but listen to what you're saying for them. And Lord, I pray that with the words that we do speak, Lord, that they bring healing and they bring encouragement to people. And they just bring so much healing into the lives of people who really, really, truly need you, Lord. Lord, I pray that when they get done having their time with us, Lord, and we listen, that they have an understanding of what it really means to be loved by Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for your patience, and I thank you for how you're always listening to us, Lord, and how you care so much for us. And Lord, I just pray that you give us that same ministry to the people of our community, to our families, and to our friends. And Lord, I pray that you help us to be good examples of your love to people. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.